nothing separate me from your love. There's so much more still worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all he has planned for you and me. Nothing can separate, nothing can separate me from your love. 'Cause there's so much more still worth fighting for. Amen. Amen. In other words, don't give up. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's thank God for the praise team and appreciate y'all and all of these musicians and all of these musicians that are just growing in the Lord. For that, we are so, so grateful. Amen. I want you to turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. There's a few verses I want to lift up to you. Acts chapter 2. I want to read verses 14 through 16, and then I'm going to look at 22 through 24, and then one last verse number 36. Here's what it says, 14 through 16. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. And no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. The 22nd through the 24th verse. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Last verse. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Amen. I want to talk about the best choice. The best choice. I used to be a bigger fan of football than I am today. My enjoyment of football waned in the past years. I have some issues that relates to how the commissioner responded to the players. That's another story for another day. But our country, there are many millions of people that flat out love football. The nation has come, has paused these last couple of weeks. Can't hardly turn on TV without seeing Nashville, who is right in the center of the country, was the place where the 2019 NFL draft was held. Whole streets were blocked off. Jumbotrons were put up, and people came from everywhere, dressed in their uniforms and helmets, trying to let everybody know whose team they loved. People who don't own the team, people who some can't hardly afford the tickets. Everybody was dropping in their 2 cents and opinion on who ought to get picked for the team. It's a simple thing. You've got some young guys coming out of college who's making universities and coaches millionaires. And finally, it's their chance to get paid. People are debating that they got paid with an education. That's another story for another day. That ain't on my menu today. But it's their chance to get paid. People are lining up to represent them, to advise them and to guide them, trying to help them to come up with a speech and an outfit so that when their name gets called, they can represent. Everybody's trying to make a good choice. They want somebody to join their team with the intent of helping them become winners in the future. Truth is that some people who get picked don't always turn out to be what the team coaches and owners hope they would be. And then there's a level of disappointment when the one you chose can't do what you hoped he could. But people paused, and they're on edge. And some celebrated and some sighed in disgust, as if to say, I don't know what in the world they were thinking of. Time ultimately will tell if they made the best choice. Isn't that kind of interesting as believers and as you think about the New Testament, where we get a chance to see Jesus, who just rose from the dead, hanging out with his disciples, and these disciples are having a last few days with Jesus, and this ministry is about to pop off. And the message to the world is that Jesus is a good choice. He's the best choice. If you want to go to heaven, he's on. He's the only choice. I love this chapter. I love this text, because what it shows is that people, no matter what, sometimes people get confused about what God's up to, and God loves us enough to give us his word so that we can have, with all assurance, confidence in making Jesus our choice. Learned a little song when I was a teenager. Some folk would rather have houses and land. Some folk choose silver and gold. These things they cherish, and and sometimes forget about their soul. But I've decided to make Jesus my choice. That chorus said the road gets rough. The going sometimes tough and the hills are. But I started out long time ago. Still, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm glad I made Jesus my choice. Here in the context of what's going on, Jesus has ascended and the Holy Ghost has descended, and people are saying that these folk are acting like they drunk. And based upon what these accusations are, it is Peter who stands up and says to them, and I'm going to walk on through this outline. The first thing he says to them is, no, they ain't drunk. This is a special delivery. What you're seeing is a special delivery. Arvana, I thought about it. I've been delivering stuff in seat just about all my life. My earliest remembrance with grandmama is that it was my job to find the eggs, because we didn't have a hen house. Hen house was everywhere. It was my job to deliver the eggs to grandmama, and we'd play a game where I'd put them behind my back and she would guess how many and which hands they were in. It was Mr. Thomas stopped by the house one night and asked my mama if I could have a paper route, and I delivered the recorder, Indianapolis recorder, three different streets for 15 cents a paper. It was a one-day delivery. And even then, people had the audacity to say, can you come back? Right after high school, I delivered mail, Speedway Post Office. Then in college, I delivered newspapers to, in the middle of the night, dropping them off hotels, gas stations, all that kind of stuff. Then after getting married in Terre Haute, was the UPS man that gave me the kind of body y'all saw when I showed up 30 years ago. That job will keep you in shape. And in UPS, when things were extremely valuable, you couldn't just drop it on the porch. You couldn't hide it behind a pot. Based on the value, sometimes you had to get a signature. Matter of fact, sometimes not only did they have to sign for it on my pad, but they had to sign another card that we would send back to the person who sent it, because they wanted to make sure that the people received what was sent. There was another one. We don't do it much today because e-commerce has taken over. There was a time you could get stuff COD. You young folk don't know nothing about that. COD means when you bring it, you got to have the cash to pay for it before I could give it to you. And a lot of folk never knew how many thousands of dollars I was walking around with because of all the CODs. Made me want to get something in my other pocket, but I couldn't do it. I'm just trying to get you to see that when stuff is special, when it's a special delivery, the person sending it wants to make sure that the folk received what was sent. That's the way it was with UPS. That's the way it was with the post office. didn't happen like that with the newspaper, but that's also the way it is with God. God, through Jesus Christ, Jesus promised that God was going to send them something real special. Matter of fact, Jesus said it like this: you will know that I'm back to the Father when you receive, and he called him the Comforter. We know that the Comforter is another name for the Holy Ghost. We also know that the Holy Ghost was not sent to make us emotional, even though when you think about God, sometimes we do. Sometimes when you think about the goodness of the Lord, you can't even read scripture. Ain't that right, Dwight? And as you get to walking and thinking about God, sometimes you'll be leaking before you know it. When you think of the goodness of the Lord, he will run your cup over and make you cry when ain't nothing wrong. Make you smile and make you rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. It's a special delivery. They said, these folk are drunk. And Peter stands up and says, no. What you're really seeing is that it's an acknowledgement that God has, that they have received what God has sent. Because stuff that they never seen before was happening. They were celebrating. They were celebrating and talking about the goodness of God. Now, people take Acts chapter 2 and they create all kinds of arguments about Acts chapter 2 and the Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Ghost. And folks start saying, well, when you receive the Holy Spirit, if you don't act like they act, then you didn't have it. They try to create a situation where individuals have to prove that they have the Holy Spirit. But I like how E.K. Bailey said, it ain't how high you jump when you get it. It's how straight you walk when you come down. The people were celebrating the goodness of God. It was an international setting, and yet without the benefit of any app, they were able to hear in their own language. And Peter stood up, and he remembered his Sunday school lesson. He said, no, they ain't been drinking. First of all, folk who really drink don't drink early because they ain't got over what they drunk last night. Folk who really drink, they don't start at 9. They try to get over what they did last night at 9 so that they can start again. No, this is acknowledgement of a special delivery as they celebrated the wondrous works of God. It's a special delivery because it's a part of God's deliberate plan. Look at verse 23. It's a part of the deliberate plan. Peter walks through this whole thing. He talks about what the prophet Joel had done. And then when you get to the 22nd verse, he says, fellow Israelites, listen to this, semicolon. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. The same man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. Peter says, no, it's a special delivery that is a part of God's deliberate plan, which means that this whole sequence of events is not some kind of accident. This is not a series of coincidences. Everything that has happened, Peter says, is a part of God's deliberate plan, which means he meant to. Now, we may not understand it on this side, but not only is it a part of his deliberate plan, but it also goes along with the foreknowledge of God. That's an interesting word, because what that means, that's a word that basically said God knew when he was going to do it long before he did it. Come here. Some of us, Some of us, things happen sequentially, but we don't always know in advance what we're going to do because we don't know in advance what's going to happen. I can't know in advance what I'm going to do because I don't always know what's going to happen. Have I got a witness here? So we got to wait till something happens and then make a decision on what we're going to do. Ooh, but watch the God we serve. The God we serve is so awesome that he knows in advance not only what he's going to do, but he knows what's going to happen. And even when the devil tries to mix it up, he still knew that and he still moves so that nothing goes outside of his knowledge and his will. I need to call. I wish I could get in touch with Dodge or Chrysler, whoever makes the Ram truck, because somebody needs to talk to them about this stupid commercial they recently made. I don't know if you've seen it, but the Ram, new Ram truck, they said it's the truck of the year, and they got this commercial where this man is in this new truck and he's got a couple kids in the back, and they say this truck's so smart that it's all-knowing. Because he's looking in the back, and then something jumps in front of the truck, and it hits the brakes for him. They say this truck is so smart that it's all-knowing. Then they use the word, it's so wise, it's all seeing. And then they talked about the engine, said it's so powerful that it can do anything. Somebody been stealing the Baptist Bible language, because it sounds like to me, that sounds like omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And I'm here to tell you, I can't wait. I'm going to look it up. You look it up if you get a chance. Because some folks still going to die in that truck, because a truck can't see everything, a truck can't know everything, and a truck can't do everything. But I'm glad to testify that we serve a God who's awesome. And his foreknowledge is what he knows even in advance of what he does. And there's a lot of folks struggle with that word. They struggle with that word, and they say, well, if he knew, then we know. No, no, no. We know as he reveals to us. But you need to know that God's not operating based on accident. I love what's in this text at verse 23 says, it was a deliberate plan. People thought that they were doing something by snatching Jesus. No, it was all a part of God's plan that he would come. Even his family was a part of God's plan. His mama, his daddy was a part of God's plan. Him going to Egypt was a part of God's plan. Him being raised in Nazareth, all of that was a part of God's plan. Him not starting his earthly ministry till he was 33, that was a part of God's plan. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, all of that was deliberate. It was a part of God's plan. And Peter, now that he's on the other side, he's able to see some things that he couldn't see before. He understands some things that he couldn't understand before, because hindsight, you know what that is. But it was all a part of God's plan. It was a special delivery, part of a deliberate plan, with the intent of giving deliverance to the people. Listen to what Peter says in verse 24. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death keep hold of him. When Jesus was sent, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that's why Jesus, when he said on the cross, I mean, he said a few things, but one of the things that I love and we got to always remember them final words, he looked up KJ and he said, "It's finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." You know, have you ever noticed it's easier to start stuff than it is to finish? Come on, let's tell the truth. When you look back, is there any stuff you've started but you've yet to really? Because it's easier to start something than it is to finish. And I'm telling you, a sign of a person who's tenacious and dedicated, it's not what can you start. The question is, what can you finish? Could you imagine if Jesus Christ came and did the earthly ministry but never finished it? You and I are here today because he finished it. He paid the price so that you and I could have access to the Father by believing that Jesus died for our sins and God raised him from the dead. It's a part of God's plan to provide deliverance for his people. Delivered from what? Well, first, we get salvation by trusting him. But then even after we're saved, there's some stuff we still got to get delivered from. Tell the truth. He saves us, but then in the midst of that, we're born again as babes, and we have to grow in grace and in his knowledge. And there are things that have a strong hold on us. And so just like Paul, we said, we've got to fight the good fight. Paul said, "I buffet my body daily so that I'll yield to what the Spirit wants me to do and not what I want to do." So there's things that we need to be delivered from. One of the things immediately that the disciples needed to be delivered from was fear. They were afraid. They were afraid because they killed Jesus, and they were afraid they were going to kill them too. So often they hid out. They were scared. They were behind locked doors. Not only did they need deliverance from fear, they need deliverance from faithlessness. That's what that thing last week with Thomas was all about. Jesus said, "Stop doubting, but believe." Because sometimes God is expecting us to trust him even when things are dark, even when things are dismal, even when we got our backs up against the wall, even when things make us just want to throw up our hands and give up. But yet there's so much more. That's why I love that song. It's tied to a scripture that says, "Eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard all that God has in store for us." But what happens is he doesn't always show up when we think he ought to show up. He doesn't always show up how we think he ought to show up. He doesn't always show up through the person he thinks he ought to use. We have to be delivered from faithlessness. We got to learn how to trust God. Trust him to do it in his way, in his time. Who am I talking to this morning? Because we got to wait on him to do it his way and in his time. Life can throw you a curve, can't it, Bert? And you think that you're out for the count, but God has already told us to trust him, not when the sun is shining, but we got to learn how to celebrate him even when things get dark, to know that he's working for our... It doesn't mean that everything is good, but we serve a God who's so good that even the things that aren't good will work on... for our good. And so he delivers them. It's a special delivery, part of God's deliberate plan to provide deliverance for the people so that they can stand and make a declaration. Because here's what this thing ultimately leads to. This whole text is a picture of a man who just a few days ago was behind locked doors. It's a picture of a man who was scared half to death. On one hand, he had just gone through a very traumatic experience himself. He had denied the Lord. He was disillusioned. He thought that everything was over. And yet the Lord hadn't given up on him. He didn't think he had a chance. But when the sisters came back telling the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee, there's a line in there that says, oh, by the way, Peter, he said, make sure you with him. Because even when you failed on God, God knew that you were going to fail even before you did it. And so Peter, he's still in the group. And then God has a special conversation. Jesus has a conversation with him to help him know that he has been restored. And now this fella who was hiding a few weeks ago behind a locked door, he comes, stands boldly in front of the folk who put Jesus to death, and he makes a declaration. Several times. See, Peter will call the name. In verse 14, he stood up, raised his voice, and said, fellow Jews, because he'll call the name. Verse 22, he says, fellow Israelites, listen to me. In verse 36, he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured, because he's calling the name. He said, yeah, y'all are the ones who was used to put him to death, but now he stands with the declaration. And the declaration, he stands with the declaration. It's a declaration of boldness. He was hiding one moment, but he's standing boldly the next, declaring that this Jesus, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. He's Lord because he has power over death. He's Messiah. He was God with us. He's the Lamb of God who died to take away the sins of the world. This same one is the one y'all crucified, but God raised from the dead. And when you keep on reading, their response is, oh, Lord, what shall we do? And you know what he said? I tell you what you do. Just repent. You repent and receive him and be baptized. Repent and connect. In other words, you need to have a change of direction, change of thought, change of mind. And when you put your faith in him, it'll give you a change of behavior. Y'all, this life, I don't know about you, but I want a life of victory. I want to win. I want a life of victory. And Jesus died so that we could have victory. And you don't have to be obnoxious about it and all of that. You ain't gotta be obnoxious. But the truth is, listen, I serve a risen Savior. And because he lives, I can live. I serve a risen Savior who sacrificed his life so that I can have a direct connection with the Father. Even Jesus said, now, when you pray, you say, our Father. Which means I'm his child. And there's a promise that Jesus gives as he teaches us about prayer. He teaches us about the relationship that we have. And that there's some things that we don't have to worry about because of our Heavenly Father. Matthew 6:32 said, yeah, there's some folk that don't know Jesus, that don't know God, that has a right, they have a reason to be worried, but not you, because your Heavenly Father, he knows that you have need of what? Of all these things that sometimes we worry about, sometimes we stay up late at night about, sometimes we're frustrated, sometimes we fight about. God knows what we need. He's provided for us not only salvation, but he's provided for us a life of victory. Now, I don't know who your team is. Dallas, I don't know. Don't matter. Go on, you ought to have something to cause you a little time of laughter and entertainment. I'm not suggested by any means that you shouldn't entertain yourselves and enjoy some football if you want to, basketball if you want to, hockey if you want to. Go on, pick your team and get you a jersey and get you a hat and root for them. But don't let that team ever take precedence over the real team. Because when the Lord comes back, he ain't coming back for no Cowboys. I look at the highlights every day. He ain't coming back for the Warriors. He's not coming back for baseball. He ain't coming back for the Cardinals. Have I got a witness? Now, there may be a few people on those teams that get caught up, but he ain't coming back for the team. Keep on reading the word of God, and there's only one thing I know that he's coming back for. It ain't AKAs, it ain't Kappas, it ain't Deltas, it ain't Sigmas. Put your fraternity sorority in there. He ain't coming back for that. Go on and do some good works, but the only thing that he's coming back for is his church. Have I got a witness here? And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the ecclesia, the body of baptized believers. He comes back. The church is his choice. And because the church is his choice, you ought to make Jesus your choice. My first round draft pick, Jesus. My second round draft pick, Jesus. My third round draft pick, Jesus. Fourth, fifth, and sixth, Jesus. Jesus in January. Jesus in February. You got the picture. Jesus on Monday. Jesus on Tuesday. Every morning when I rise, my choice is Jesus. He's the best choice. He's the best choice that anybody can make. You got to decide that for yourself. Can't do it for you. I sure would encourage you, because he's the one that has already paid the price so that you and I could have the assurance and the boldness to come behind locked doors with an open mind to stand and declare and testify how good he is. And that's what I'm doing right now. Somebody looking at me right now, I stand this morning